Let's go. Let's get to class, y'all. We're in homeroom, right? Welcome to classroom, Brenham's First Baptist Church style. I hope that you're glad to be here this morning. You know, when that school bell rang, do you remember what it was like those first few days of school, especially a new school year? When the bell rang, what were your thoughts? What were your feelings as the day was about to start? For some of you, it was a mix of excitement and fear, right? There was the excitement of a new school year. You got to meet the new teacher, got to meet new students. You wondered what it was going to be like that year. Would you fit in? Would your friends accept you? Would there be that special girl or special guy, right? For some of you, it was a fearful thing, wondering, what would happen? Would I understand the homework? Would I understand the assignments? Would I be accepted in a peer group? Would I succeed or would I fail? You know, for me growing up in especially in junior high and high school, and I went to large high school, junior high in Houston, my fear was finding my way, right? Would I be able to find from class to class? Would I be able to make it to the locker and then back to my class in time? Would I find my way in the mass of humanity, of teenage life, in the middle of all the deodorant and all the hormones, right? Would I find my way? Guys, the days of our school life were transformative. Many of our character traits we have now in our life as adults have their roots in the classroom of our elementary, junior high, and high school. Our homerooms and our classrooms transformed us for the living room. We found our way in life because we found our way in school. In the Bible, we meet people who, just like us, were transformed by meeting a new teacher. They went through a learning experience, a transformation as they went from classroom, from a true homeroom, to their living rooms. They found a new teacher, a master teacher. They found their life home room, so to speak, and they found their way to a new way of living. They went from old school to meeting a new teacher, and everything changed. Old school met new life in Jesus. We're going to look over the next month at some characters of the Bible who were transformed in their new home room. Peter, Paul, Mary Magdalene, Zacchaeus, all of them had an old life, but were transformed by Jesus into a new life. There's a passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 21 through 24, that talks about that transformation. I put it on the screen. I want to walk with you quickly through it. It says, if you've really experienced the Anointed One and heard His truth, it'll show up. It'll be seen in your life. For we know that ultimate reality is embodied in who? In who? Jesus. That's our true homeroom. Our true homeroom is in Jesus. And He has taught us to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, of our old life. The old self. And that old self is corrupted in sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. But now, Paul says, it's time to be made new in every revelation that has been given to you, and be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within you as your new life and live in union with Him. See, that's the new school. That's your new homeroom. For God has recreated you. He's transforming you over and over again into His perfect righteousness. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to wander our spiritual halls. We're going to ask ourselves, have we found our way with Jesus, our teacher? Today, we're going to see a man. He was a prideful man who needed some transformation. He needed a lot of personal growth. He had a lot of ups and downs. He followed Jesus and found a new way of life. His name was Peter. Jesus meets Peter on the seashore. Peter is mending his nets. He's been fishing. For years, his homeroom has been his boat, his fishing boat. On this particular day, the teacher comes to see him. And on the shoreline, he looks at Peter, Jesus does, and says, "Hey, Peter, come and follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. We're going to start a whole new school. Come, be a part of it." And the Bible says Peter immediately left his nets. He left his old home room. He left the fishing boat, and he began to follow Jesus as a student, as a disciple. Now, Peter, as a disciple, just like all of us as students, has good days and bad days. On some days, Peter is a star pupil. I remember Peter walking on the water. Man, gold star, right? He's walking on water. He's a star pupil that day. But then within a few minutes, he starts looking at the wind and waves, and he fails the pop quiz. He's a class leader one day, and the next day, Jesus, the teacher, is shaking his head. Sound familiar to all of us? Anybody here have an up and a down in the same day? In the same hour? Yeah. Peter says, "Hey, Jesus, I will never deny you. You're my guy. Me and you, we're tight." And by the morning time, he says, "I never knew you, Jesus." Just like all of us as a student, up and down, right? From that moment of denial, though, when he denied Jesus three times, Peter goes into a spiral. He's struggling as a student. He's had a tough week. And Jesus knew it. Jesus knew it. He knew right where he was. Peter needed a timeout, and he placed himself in timeout. And in John chapter 21, Jesus, the teacher, the resurrected teacher, comes to find Peter. He needs a one-on-one with Peter to have some time with the teacher. In John chapter 21, in verse 15, we see this meeting between teacher and pupil. Jesus meets Peter on the seashore over in breakfast. Peter's head is hung low. He comes to Jesus as the waves crash on the seashore. Jesus has a breakfast for him. They sit down over breakfast, and Jesus looks at Peter in John chapter 21 and verse 15. He says, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these other guys?" Peter looks at Jesus and says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus says, "Tend my lambs." A second time, Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter says, "Yeah, Jesus, I love you. You're my friend." And Jesus says to him, "Shepherd my sheep." Now a third time, Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me like a friend?" Peter is grieved at this time. See, Peter knows he's flunked the test. He knows he's blown it. He knows he's not been the star pupil anymore. He's denied Jesus. And now three times Jesus is asking if he loves me. And Peter looks at Jesus and goes, "Yeah, Jesus, I love you." Jesus looks back at Peter, knowing all that he's been through. Knowing that Peter feels like he's failed. And Jesus says, "Look at me, Peter. You're still worth everything. I'm not finished with you. You haven't flunked my class. I have lesson plans for you, Peter. I need you on my team. Love my sheep. Love my people. You are worth everything, Peter. And at this point, Peter's not a world changer. He's still learning. He's still growing. Days and weeks pass in Peter's life. Jesus ascends to heaven. Peter and the other disciples, they meet together in an upper room, about 120 people. And they begin to pray, and they begin to pray, and they're seeking God. And the Bible says they come together in one accord. And in Acts chapter 2, we see the day of Pentecost, where God shows up in a mighty and powerful way. The sound of rushing wind comes into that room. God's Spirit comes over those that are there. Men begin to speak in other languages. Those who are outside begin to look and they go, these men who are speaking in other languages, surely they're drunk. Now, in Acts chapter 2, this is Peter's moment. What will he do? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, that Peter, in this moment of when lessons are needed, when homework is needed to be turned in, Peter stands up and he took his stand, the Bible says. Peter took his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared. See, Peter began to preach at this moment. The man who had denied Jesus began to declare Jesus. No more denial, declaration. In the homeroom of Peter's life, in this moment, Jesus made a pledge and Peter pledged his allegiance. In this moment, in Peter's homeroom, Jesus found his student. And Peter's life was forever changed. Peter found his way in the school of life and everything changed at this moment. Guys, I want to talk about today three principles of change in us in the homeroom. And the first is this: our heart is our homeroom. Homeroom is the heart. Homeroom is the heart. Listen, Peter in this moment, after his denials, he was heartsick. He was haunted. He was wounded. He had denied Jesus three times. Dejection, disillusionment, depression, despair. Listen, Peter was bummed out. He had lost his way. He was wandering and he was wondering, did I make a mistake? What have I done? Am I in time out? Will God ever love me? He's struggling with his identity. So Peter goes and plays hooky. He goes back to the old homeroom of his life. He goes back to fishing. He gets back to the boat, his escape. He goes back to his old life. And there on the boat, as the water laps against his boat, as the seagulls soar, Peter stands there waiting, wondering, am I worthy? What have I done? How far I've fallen? Would God ever accept me again? Would the teacher love me? He's struggling, just like many of us. 3 years earlier, he had met Jesus on the shoreline, and now he had failed the test three times. On that water that day, he was wondering. He was wondering. He couldn't forget his past. The fish weren't biting, but his memories had him hooked. And Jesus shows up in that very moment and from the shoreline calls out to Peter in the boat. Have you caught anything? Peter recognized Jesus' voice. He jumped into the water. He swam to the shore like Michael Phelps. And there over breakfast, Jesus meets with him. And the one intention on Jesus' mind in that moment was to mend Peter's heart. Peter had lost his way. He didn't need a visit to the principal's office. He needed time with the teacher. And Jesus' lesson plan at breakfast on the beach was not to lecture, but to love. Jesus' lesson plan was not for Peter to give penance, but to know his purpose. Jesus knew Peter's heart ached. He didn't wag his finger at Peter. He didn't say, "Peter, I told you so. I can't believe you blew it. Go stand in a corner." He didn't say, "Hey, Peter, you got to earn your way back in. You need some extra credit. I need you to do some bonus work for me to earn your way back in." What Jesus did in that moment on the beach is what all of us in this room need. Somebody to love us in the middle of our mistakes. Some of us have been wandering around in the wrong homeroom. We've been beating ourselves up because we messed up. We've lied, we've cheated, we hurt somebody. We feel unworthy, we feel angry, we feel mad, we feel dejected. We feel down. We demand better of ourselves. We can't forgive ourselves. All of us in this room are wounded. There's no one in this room is perfect. We're all wounded people, just like Peter. And Jesus knows it. And Jesus pulls his desk up to our life and in a gentle, loving way says, "I love you. You are worthy. I have plans for your life. Don't quit on yourself. I sure haven't." You see, guys, Peter's transformation from betrayer to world changer happened in the tender moment of the heart over breakfast. Today, Jesus has you and me here for some tender moments of the heart. I want you to know that you are loved and that you have purpose. Jesus brought you here not to lecture you, but to love you right where you are. Jesus didn't make Peter change, get himself all cleaned up. He brought himself just as he was to the beach. It's the same for you. Jesus hadn't brought you here to wag his finger or to pound his fist on you, but to open his arms, to tend to your heart. Next principle is, if we're going to find our way in the school of life, we must wander and be in the hallway of humility. Hallway of the humility, not pride's path. Humility is the path of purpose. Pride will deter us every time. Peter is a man who battled with ego and pride, just like all of us in this room. So many times in the walk with Jesus, his teacher, Peter over and over had to deal with his ego and pride, didn't he? Jesus had to walk with Peter through the hallways of humility over and over again. So many times our will sometimes overshadows our humility. And it was that way with Peter. Peter was an expert fisherman, right? But he had to let go of pride before he could find his way in the school of life. Humility is honored in the homeroom. And when Jesus asked Peter those three questions, it was not to condemn Peter, it was to cover Peter. It was to let Peter know that in the middle of his pride, he was still loved. One of the qualities of a great fisherman is patience. A quality of a great fisherman? Yes, absolutely. Is wisdom a quality of a good fisherman? Yes. Timing, persistence, knowing your fish, all are important. But you know what a great characteristic of a great fisherman is? Humility. Because listen, Sometimes you catch and sometimes you don't. And sometimes, just when you think you're the greatest fisherman on the planet, you lose the big one. Am I right? How many of you have got that fish close to the shore only to lose it? Yeah, thank you. All right. Yeah, I'm seeing you, Edward, back there. That's right. And in that moment, you are humbled. Pride is out the door. Listen, pride will leave a fisherman hungry. It'll leave us hungry too. In the 3 years of the school with the Savior, Peter had lost a lot. He was humbled many times over. Many times he put his way before Yahweh. So on that morning at breakfast on the beach, and that morning between the breakfast and between Pentecost, Peter was walking in humility before the shepherd. And today, maybe that's you. God has brought you to a humble place. And if that is you, that's awesome. Because God has you right where he needs you. You can catch fish in humility. But if you're prideful, if you're pompous, I guarantee you, you aren't going to catch many fish. And you're not going to find your way in the school of life. Homeroom is about humility. That's the second point. The third point is this. To find our way in the school of life, lessons must become our life. Lessons must become our life. Now, how many of you remember an equation in algebra that looks like this? Look at the screen. Some of you just broke out in a sweat. Solve for X. You remember that? Solve for X, right? I'm not asking you to do that, Barrett. Teacher's pet down here. Do you remember that equation? Do you remember looking at that for the first time and telling your teacher or telling your parents, why do I need to know the value of X? Anybody here? Raise your hand high. All of us, yes. You struggle. Why? Why do I need to know X? Now, I'm going to make a confession today. In my 43 years since I graduated high school, I have never, ever, in the course of my life, had to know the value of X. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to get scolded by all you teachers out there. I understand. Believe me, I've already been scolded after the first session. I'm just giving you testimony of my own life. No one has cornered me on a street and said, Troy, give me the value of X. Just hadn't happened. Now, I've done math problems before, and I love math, but nobody's ever asked me the value of X. My point being is this. Listen to me. Some lessons in life don't transition to real life. But there are lessons that must be lived. There will come a point in our life when there must be an action to a lesson, where a lesson must become life, where homework, get this, listen to this, homework becomes legwork, where you have to put into practice what you know. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, that's Peter's moment. In Acts 2:14, Peter finds himself in a moment where he must put into practice what he's learned. It's a critical decision. Peter could have stayed on the sidelines and let other people handle it. But in this moment, in Acts 2:14, when the Holy Spirit begins to move, the Bible says, Peter took his stand with the 11 and he stood and he preached. Lesson became homework and homework became legwork. Peter stood to preach. He laid the wood. He stepped on toes. He got up and heaven came down. He preached his heart out. And in that moment, 3,000 people became believers in Jesus Christ. And from that moment, Peter's a different man. He is humbly bold. Christianity begins. The church builds upon this rock, right? I mean, think about it, y'all. From 3 denials to 3 questions about love, 3,000 people get saved. Do you see the transformation? Do you go from old school to new school and see the transformation of knowing what life is about? Peter understood the assignment and he put it into practice. I want us to understand, all of us today as students in this room, that transformation takes time. And Peter needed to walk with Jesus through the problems and the prayer before the possibilities presented themselves. I'm going to say that again. Transformation happens in process as we walk with Jesus through problems and through prayer, and we wait and watch for the possibility to present itself. And when the possibility presents itself, that's the moment of action. We walk in relationship, and eventually Jesus will bring us to a point and say, what are you going to do about it? I've given you the lessons. I've given you the ability. I am with you now. What will you do? Will you take a step into the lesson and do the assignment? There will come a point for each one of us in this room where God brings you to that question. What will you do? A moment of standing. I want you to think about this for a minute. How do you know a caterpillar is transformed into a butterfly? You don't know until it breaks forth from the cocoon and stretches its wings. You get it? There must be a moment of breakthrough and stretching. That's when the lessons become life. And for you and for me, some of us are in a cocoon and we're real happy there. Oh, this is so comfortable. This is so nice. It's warm and comfy. I've got everything like it, like I want. And God is saying, it's time to stretch your wings. I need you to take a step into the homework. Let's go. The bell has rung. It's time to get to class and put in the work. And some of us are like, no, I like it right here. Peter could have stayed right where he was. It's time for some of us in this room to stretch our legs, to stretch our wings. For some of that may be a decision to ask Jesus into your life and to be your Lord and Savior. You've been in your cocoon doing your thing, and God is saying it's time to accept me as your Lord and Savior. For some of you, it's baptism. Some of you have never followed Christ in baptism, a step of obedience. For some of you, it's becoming a member of this church. For some of you, it's to use your gifts in service to Him. For some of you, it may be to ask to grant forgiveness to somebody. Somebody needs to make a phone call. Somebody needs to write a letter. Somebody needs to go online. I don't know. But there's a step of obedience for all of us where we show that our lessons become our life, and that's where the legwork happens. And today, God has brought you here to say, it's time. It's time. Let's go. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us enough to nurture us on the beach, to humbly walk with us through the problems and through prayer, and eventually, as our teacher, as every good teacher does, you ask us as students to do some homework. Today, God, you've brought us here today, not by accident, but at this moment in life, you've brought us here to ask us to do some homework. Some of us need to search our hearts and ask you to come into our life to be our Savior. Some of us need to search our heart and ask for forgiveness. Some of us need to search our heart and take a step of obedience in baptism. Some of us need to search our heart and become a member of this church to begin on mission for you. Some of us need to take a step into our heart, God, to solve some issue of relationship in our family. I don't know what you're doing, God, but you're doing something. You're always active. And God, you've brought us here for a purpose, to love us. To say to each one of us, shepherd my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my sheep. There's a moment of action. And as we enter this moment of response, God, if there's something you're doing among us that needs to be made known public, give us the courage to do that now. In Christ's name I pray, amen.